God is good all the time. Our problem is figuring out that that's such a timely word there about the timing of God. If I thought that God didn't have good timing, it could get a little frustrating. I think I said last week that often we are in God's will, but we're out of his timing. And if we're out of his timing, then we're out of his will. So that waiting on God is so very, very important. I got a beautiful book from Jean this week for my birthday. And the whole book is about just waiting, taking time. I just wish I could go to some of those places, Jean. These are mountain streams and meadows and deer running through the meadows and the brooks and the fish jumping in the streams. It's like, yeah, I like that. I like that, but it's pretty hard to get there sometimes. So you have to create that in your own space and your own time of just they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, they that just learn to find that solitude, not necessarily around them, but on the inside, just to create that time of just hearing from God, hearing what God is saying. Pastor Ralph's challenge right at the beginning of the service is we need God. We need him. We're not just serving the man next door. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And he said that when we call on him, he is present. So what I want to do this morning is just bring us to some of those truths that he does mean what he says. This book, somebody counted 30,000 promises in here. I've never done it myself, but 30,000 promises. And any one of them, God backs up. We just got to make sure we keep the condition. They're not just out there for us. They're out there for us when we meet the condition. And often we want the answer, but we don't want to meet the condition. So let's go to the first slide. The first slide, I'm talking about weapons for victory. And basically, last week when I said what is authority, that we have the authority. And my challenge here is stop fussing and start fighting. I find that I do, I'm sorry, I can't speak for you. I do a lot of fussing. I get fussing and think I'm praying. I stay up all night complaining and think I prayed all night. And I haven't done the praying. I've just done the fussing. And we come to the place of reality when we say, hey, what we're doing and how we're doing it is not working. Maybe we should try something else. So let's run over quickly what we said last week. One, we said that Adam started out with that authority, right? Genesis 1:26. He gave them dominion over the earth. He sinned. And he didn't give it to the devil, but the devil usurped it. And he became the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Satan, Jesus recognized him. Paul recognized that. So Satan had that authority for a while. Then Jesus bought it back with his precious blood. And that's one of the reasons we have communion on a regular basis, to remind us of the power of the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So everything we're going to say this morning is going to focus toward the communion emblems. He bought it back with his blood. Then he gave it back to the church. He said, behold, I give you authority. All authority in heaven, and he added, and on earth, is now mine. I paid the price. I have that authority, and I give it to you. And that's where we ended last week. And then I was talking to Pastor Ralph, and I said, like, okay, but it could be asked, what are we doing with it? Like, how do you manifest that authority? How do you utilize that authority? I remember that we used to sing a song, I'm sure you sang it here, I've got the power in the name of Jesus. And every time we sing it, I'd say, what are we doing with it? You know, what are we doing with this power we have? Okay, what are we doing with this authority? And how does it play out in our lives? I don't know about you. I live in a very real world. And I think we all do, right? A real world. Let's look at two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What does that mean? It means we're not in a warfare like they are over in Iraq right now, although it is a spiritual thing. But they're warring with tanks and guns and missiles and stuff like this. Our warfare that we deal with and Paul is dealing with is a spiritual warfare. Here's what he says. For the weapons of our warfare. Say those words with me. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to say amen to that scripture. Amen. That's a scripture we all need to know. When we have problems in the family, it's not like husband and wife fighting. It's not like children fighting with parents and struggling. There are spiritual entities behind this, and they need to be dealt with in the spirit. We war not in the flesh. We war in the spirit. And the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly weapons. They are spiritual weapons. The next verse is this one. Ephesians 6 and 12. Explains it a little further. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Say amen to that verse. Amen. We must understand that. I remember when our kids were little, we have two boys and a girl, and I remember when the boys were in high school, and even before that, when they were 12, 13, 14, remember some of the things that they came home with. I believe in such a thing as transference of spirits. I've seen our boys walk out of the house on a morning, and by 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, come home with a different spirit. And we've had to deal. We don't fight blood, flesh and blood. You go and bind and take authority over whatever that thing is that attached itself to them as they yielded to it during the day. We have to battle in the spirit. It's a spiritual battle for our families, for our children. So we need weapons. We need authority. Let's take a look. There are many, okay? And I'm going to try the impossible. I'm going to give you 6 weapons this morning, when each one of these takes an entire semester in Bible school. If you're going to Bible college, each one of these 6 points I'm giving you is an entire semester. Are we ready to do it in like 3 or 4 minutes? Okay, number one, weapons for victory. I want you to take your bulletin. Can we give another big thank you to Wendy for the great job she does with the bulletin? Thank you so much, Wendy. Great, great job. She always finds some incredible... This is what she's so good at. But in the back there, you have some room there. I want you to save 6 lines. 6 lines for 6 points. The first one is this. The authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. That is our authority. That is our authority. Let me give you 3 scriptures. Philippians 2. Paul said this in his summation of the gospel. He says, and God has given him a name. Listen now. And God has given Jesus a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's authority. Do you know why people use the Lord Jesus' name in vain? To rob us of that. I worked with a guy, I worked in Loblaws when I worked my way through Bible school, and this man named Arnie, he came to work with us. And Arnie was a character. I hope Arnie hears his message. But I mean, he could swear up, he was foul mouth and rough around the edges. After about a year, spending a lot of time with him, Arnie got saved, gives his heart to the Lord. And I remember when we went into the ministry, then he would come out and visit us on weekends and listen to me preach out there. I mean, he had a change. But when we started to talk about Jesus, he couldn't use the name Jesus. He would call him JC. Because he had blasphemed his name for so many years that to him, he couldn't use Jesus in the positive way of who Jesus is. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to just pull away from us and the world the authority, the power that is in the name of Jesus. And we're going to play that little chorus at the end of while we're taking communion. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? There's power. Say that with me. There's power in the name of Jesus. Luke 10:19. Behold, he said, I give you, Jesus said, I give you power. I give you authority. Use my name. And then in Mark 16:7, he said, in my name. This is after the resurrection. He met them in Galilee. And he said, he gathered them around. He says, I have been given that authority in heaven and on earth. Use my name. In my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall raise it. In my name. Amen. In my name. Try it sometime. Come on. That's the problem. I'm saying this. That authority, we will not know that we have it until we try it. And if it doesn't work the first time, try it the second time. Because it is going to work. In the name of Jesus. Amen? In the name of Jesus. That's authority. He has given us, listen to this now, the power of attorney to use his name. What does that mean? I heard the story. It's a true story. This pastor was preaching one morning on this subject, about the name of Jesus. And in the service that morning, for the first time, was a lawyer. Lived in the area. He thought he'd drop into the service, and he listened to the man. He came to the pastor after. He said, "Pastor, are you telling me that Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name?" And the lawyer and the pastor said, "Well, I'm just a preacher. You're the lawyer. What do you think?" He said, "Well, if words mean anything, that's exactly what he did." And then the pastor said, "Well, let me ask you a question, sir. What does that mean to you, that Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name?" He said, "Well, what that means is everything that he has given us the right to. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He has given us the right." That's scary, but incredible if we can get a hold of it and if we can believe it. Amen? That gives us the authority to believe. Now, listen to this statement here by Jesse Penn Lewis, an author from years ago. He said, "The authority of Christ as conqueror over the evil hosts of Satan is not inherent in the believer." What's something that's inherent? It's inherent in a duck. When it goes to the water, the mother has not have to teach it how to swim. It's inherent in the duck. I've never seen a mummy dog teaching the puppy how to bark. You know what I mean? There are certain things that are inherent. And what he's saying here, that this authority of Christ as conqueror over the evil hosts of Satan is not inherent. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to understand. It's something we have to believe. It's something we have to practice. Now listen to this. "But is laid hold of by him," the believer, "through the power of the Holy Spirit in response to faith." Somebody say amen. That's an incredible statement. I wish I'd made it. But it's a powerful statement. If you can get a hold of that and just go over it a number of times and say, "It's not inherent. I've got to go after it. I've got to speak it. I've got to believe it. I've got to stand upon it." That inherent power, that authority in the name of Jesus. Say with me, in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more little story. It's one of the saddest stories. This little girl, never been to church, Sunday school in her entire life. She was about 6 or 7. And she came, a friend invited her, the Sunday before Christmas. She came on the bus. And she sat in the class, and the teacher, of course, was teaching about Christmas because it was a Sunday before Christmas. And she taught about how the baby was born, and they named him Jesus. And this little girl got this frown on her face, and she shook her head. And the teacher said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "Well, I don't understand." And the teacher said, "What don't you understand?" She said, "I don't understand why they would take a precious little baby and call him a curse word." That's sad. That is so sad. But that's the enemy is trying to remove that power and authority. The greatest statement I believe can come out of our lips are these words: Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And if you live in an environment where you hear that name used, I worked with the guys on the building road construction my first summer in Canada. I mean, I could not believe what was coming out of these guys' mouths. And what I would try to do is say, "Jesus Christ is Lord," 5 times for every time I heard a swear word during the day. You got to balance it out somehow. Purge your mind and your heart. And I encourage you to do that. That's why we sing choruses about Jesus. Amen? The love of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, because that has to remain. We cannot lose. So that to me was number one. It may not be number one on your list of weapons, but it's number one on my list of weapons. Keep the name of Jesus pure. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he's your Lord and Savior, you have absolutely no right to let his name come out of your mouth as swearing. Absolutely no right. Number two, his word. His word is our standing. Matthew 18:18. "Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound. Whatever you shall loose shall be loose." Ephesians 6 says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I was hoping that I could find a little daily bread at home. I'm saying this, when I talked to Pastor Ralph about doing this, I said, Pastor, most of the people in Jubilee have heard this over. They've heard this over and over. They know this stuff. But and we talked about the new people coming into the church and those coming on the bus and those who are visiting. Some of it may be fairly new. And so we decided to lay this foundation in authority before we go on any further. And there's a little booklet called Our Daily Bread. I couldn't find one at home, but how many get the Daily Bread? Not too many. It is available, and I asked Wendy if she would put the address in the bulletin next Sunday. Because you just write them, you can get them on email, just type in Daily Bread, and it'll come up, and you'll just hit deliver it to my mailbox, and they'll deliver it to your mailbox every month. Free. I mean, it is a tremendous gift to the body of Christ. Often people have a hard time just getting consistency in the Word. You know, you start reading and then you miss a cut down. And then you wonder where to read again and you don't know where you're reading. This here gets you consistent. It gives you a good thought, a thought for the day, a scripture to memorize, and it is every single day of the year. You get one every month. Thank God for the through the Bible. What's that called? Radio Bible class. Radio Bible class. They're on WDCX at 8:45 every morning. Very interesting bunch of people talking about the Word. It's free. The address will be in the bulletin next Sunday. The Word of God. The Word of God. Anyhow, let me put one more thought up there. There is no more powerful compound than that of the Spirit and the Word of God. When mixed in the proper proportions, the enemy is sure to be exposed and overthrown. Somebody say, Amen. It's the truth. The Word of God. I hope the Word is precious to you, and I hope you're reading it. I hope you're putting it in your heart and in your mind, because that is your strength. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we better get in the Word so we can please God. Amen? Number three. His faith is our victory. His faith is our victory. The Bible tells us that the devil, like a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to believe this word from Peter. 1 Peter 5:9. Says whom, this the devil, the roaring lion, you must resist steadfast in the faith. Come on, we cannot resist the enemy in our own strength. I've got a little saying that the misquoted verse is resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many believe that? That's not what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does the Bible teach? Cleanse your hands, cleanse your hearts, draw near to God, set aside yourself to God. Then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen? So there's a faith walk here, to walk in faith, to believe, to stand in faith, to live in faith, and that who resists steadfast in the faith. I've heard people say, well, I can't help this. I Romans chapter 7, that's where I am. I just can't seem to overcome. But if we would do it in faith, it can be done. Victory is ours in faith. Faith in the power of the name of Jesus, which we just looked at. Faith based on knowledge of the work of Christ. That's understanding who we are and whose we are. And understanding what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when we hold these emblems in our hands in just a minute, we will say, Lord, reveal yourself to us through these emblems. And then number three, faith that is spoken. Somebody said, you don't really believe what you say you believe until you believe it enough to express it with your lips. Come on now. That's true. Well, I'm a silent believer. I'm a dumb Christian. Right? You know? That's really what they're saying. And folks, listen, it's got to come out of the mouth. I've got a scripture for that in just a minute. It's got to come out of the mouth. It's got to be spoken. And Acts 16:18. Remember, this is a story when Paul and Silas were at Philippi and they were doing some crazy, amazingly crazy things for God. And this young lady was walking around and just these men are men of the Most High God, you know, for 3 days. I don't know why it went for 3 days. Paul was listening for the timing, God's word in his heart. And suddenly he stopped. And he looked at her and said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And the enemy left. It was broken. Of course, they got into a lot of trouble with that and spent the night in jail, but a church was born. Hello? When you're obedient, when you speak it, when you let it come out of your heart, it must be spoken, it must be testified, it must be believed. So faith is our victory. Say that with me. Faith is our victory, and it gives us authority. Faith comes by the Word. The Word comes by getting into it, and letting it get into our mind and into our heart. Amen? Number four, we'll deal with this at the communion too. His blood is our covering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know there are denominations and churches today that are going through their hymn books and taking out every song that has reference to the blood? Folks, listen. I'm going to try and do this. I know Pastor Ralph knows it. 66 books in here. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. 40 different authors covering 1,500 years. Written in three continents, in three different languages. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. If you look for a theme, now you could probably have your own theme, but I've looked for a theme. You know the theme I find in here? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. That's the theme. We aren't taking any of this out of our singing. We need more about the blood. You say, well, Christianity is a bloody religion. We have to say yes. We have to say yes to that. Doesn't sound right, but that's the truth. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. None. We must, listen to me now, we must, if we're going to succeed in the authority that God has given us, we must embrace the blood. We must. And they, this Revelation saints, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. His power breaks the power of sin. His blood is a perfect covering from the accuser. I love that. I love that. The enemy wanted to hurt the children of Israel, but they said, put the blood on the doorpost of a perfect lamb. And you go under the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel could not touch them. The enemy cannot touch them. We have a covering in the blood of Jesus Christ. We must. I don't know if we need to say, well, I put on the blood. We put on the armor, you know, but whether we put on the blood. But we certainly need never to feel ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the one I love about this is number three. It's a perfect standing before God. Perfect standing. You know what that word is? It's called justification. Justification. Just as though we had never sinned. And what it is, and I'm going to, what it is really, and I say this respectfully, it's a pair of glasses called the righteousness of God in the blood of Jesus Christ. When the enemy accuses us, and we feel that we have sinned, and we know we have sinned, and the enemy goes to point at us, God puts on his justification glasses and looks through the blood and sees us as though we had never sinned. Hallelujah. Never. Somebody said to me once, and it's in the scripture, you mean Jesus loves me, or God loves me as much as he loves Jesus? Want to know the truth? Yes. That's what Scripture says. Because of these, I don't want to sound, because of these blood glasses. Is that okay, Pastor? These are justification glasses. Just. See, all the other doctrines take place in us. Redeem, save, all the other. But justification takes place in the mind of God. So that when he looks at us, he sees us as sinless. Hallelujah. That should give us some authority. Amen. That's authority. Number five, we're using the same verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That is why it is so important that we get into the habit of talking and telling others about what God has done for us. It happens in the heart, but it is proven as it comes out of the mouth. Romans 10, and confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. Verse 8, it says, the word is near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart, which word we speak, even the word of faith. So the word of faith is a pronouncement with the mouth. We believe that God has raised him from the dead. We pronounce Jesus Christ as Lord with our mouths, and the Bible says we're saved. Hallelujah. And then this book of the law, we read this in Joshua, God was speaking to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Hallelujah. There is a religion that must come out of us, come out of our mouths. And that's the religion that we're talking about, the authority, the authority, the authority. People who are always talking about the Lord, sometimes we'll say, well, he just drives me crazy. He goes on and on and on and on. But guess what? He's driving the enemy crazy too. Because when their hearts are right and they're pure, they're excited about God and it's coming out of them, lives are touched and lives are changed. Praise God. I think up there, did Mark 11 come up in that corner up there? Mark 11 is the greatest teaching of faith that Jesus ever did. This is after the cursing of the fig tree. And Peter said, look, Lord, the fig tree you curse has dried up from the roots. And he says, have the faith of God. The faith of God is a speaking kind of faith. Because he said, therefore, we all know this, all right? But bear with me for a minute. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall say to that mountain, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things which you say to that mountain shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. There's something to this, folks. There really is something to what's in here coming out of our lips. Salvation, we speak it. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, it comes out of our mouth. Amen? What we receive in faith, sometimes we have to, do you believe? That's what Jesus asked. Do you believe? Do you believe? I ask you a question this morning, saints, of Jubilee. Do you believe you have authority? Do you believe if we put some of these things that we know them, something will happen. And my challenge is this week, try one of them. Just step out in faith and try one of them. The last one then is His Spirit, our strength. We used to sing it, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's quite a teaching. Paul was teaching about the danger of adultery. He said, if a man goes out and joins him and has sex with a harlot, he has joined himself to the harlot. He said, we must join ourselves to God by His Spirit. He that is of joined unto the Lord is of the same Spirit. Ephesians 3:16, strengthened with power by His Spirit. I don't know if you like Benny Hinn or not. I like the man. I think he's a genuine man of God who's made some mistakes. But he wrote a book years ago called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's just a matter of getting up in the morning and going to the window. I know the Baptists, what they said. They said, Lord, is this the day you will return? And the Pentecostals say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Same thing, really. That's the awareness that today is the day of God's presence. Today is the day you live every moment with the awareness that He could return, but He could also do something incredible through my life. Amen. He could also do something very incredible with my life if I will allow that, the Spirit, recognize the authority that I have in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, the one that I like is Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The power of the Spirit gives authority. He said, behold, I give you authority. And he uses the Greek word exousia. And sometimes in the King James, it's translated power. But in that word there, we have two words for power, exousios and dunamos. And what he said was this. He said to the disciples, and I think he's saying it to you and to me, behold, I give you exousios, power over all the dunamis of the enemy. And authority is greater than power. Right. Want you to hear that? Authority is greater than power. Here's an 18-wheeler coming down Highway 3, doing 95. Where's Don? Doing 100. Got a full load. I mean, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of horsepower under that motor. And all of a sudden, around the corner here, steps out, police officer. 180 pounds, 200 pounds. It goes like that. That thing could just keep going. It wouldn't even notice that it hit him. It would just... But when he does that, that driver starts to get sweaty hands. His heart starts beating. He hits the brake. What? Why? Authority. Authority. And my wife and I have a confession to make. A few Sundays ago, I was coming down this road. And I was going a little faster than I should. I was going a lot faster than I should. And a car spun around in the middle of the road. And the next thing I see, flashing lights. I said, oh, this car is all lit up for Christmas really early. But I pulled over and my heart started to beat. I said, hon, pray. We need the favor of God. I didn't deserve any favor, but I'm saying, Lord, mercy, grace. And I expected this big, guy to come out of the police car. This very beautiful lady. She comes walking up. You were speeding. Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry. What is it? It's authority. It's authority. They have a badge. And if I try to run away, they've got friends. A lot of them. And if I get away from them, they've got the government. They've got the army. You can't. When there's authority. You might as well shut up and take. And I prayed. She went back. She came in. I'm going to let you off. I think she's a friend of Pastor Ralph, because I think they park out here sometimes and write tickets. That's why. And she was so nice. She said, you deserve a ticket. I said, I know. I told my son, who was a police officer, I said, I told him, I'm not going to tell you how fast, I told him how fast I was going. He said, Dad, you could have got a $180 ticket and 2 demerit points. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That affects your insurance for a long time. I want you to know, I have not been speeding since. Well, a little bit, but not intentionally. Not intentionally. But authority is we have it, folks. We've got to know. I've got two words. Two words were coming up there somewhere. Okay, let's go to the next slide. There's two words I want to bring up. And these spiritual weapons are released by the mouth through prayer, confession, and command. I didn't put prayer in those because the whole thing is the life of prayer, right? And on all these things we talked about is released through faith, through speaking it, through believing it, through confessing it. And sometimes, as Paul said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. Yes. Try it sometime. Try it and just see the power they have. But the two words on the bottom here, I think they're there, Jody. Personal victory comes with the knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people do not have victory for lack of knowledge. We're not accomplishing the kingdom for lack of knowledge. I really believe it. I really believe it. Saints, I'm challenging you to get back in the Word, to pray in the Spirit daily, and to believe that when God wants you to lay hands on somebody, you do it. When God wants you to claim victory, you do it. In Jesus' name. Amen? In Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, I don't know if you still have room on the back of your bulletin. Do you still have any room? Because I want to give some of you may not be aware of this. If you've been Christian for a while, then you're aware of it. There's nothing on this next slide. Just put it up for me. Okay, nothing's going to come up, so don't hit it. Let's begin how Paul gives it to us. The belt of truth. Around that belt there hung the spear and all the different other armaments that the soldier had. So truth, we begin with truth around the belt. Then we go to the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness. It covers our heart, our lungs, our vital organs. A policeman today, my son, every time he goes out, he has to put on a bulletproof vest. And it's around the chest. Then, so this, first of all, it's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then the shield. I chose this picture because of the size of that shield. Depending on what kind of warfare they were fighting, Romans had different kind of shield. This one was when they were going against a stronghold and they were shooting fiery arrows. They would take arrows, dip them in tar, set them on fire, then they would shoot them up in the air. And the Roman soldier would get together. You know how your chairs are kind of clipped together? These shields would actually clip together. And they would get underneath of them, and the fiery darts would just fall. That's what Paul said. And the shield of faith with which you're able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Amen. The shield of faith. But where does faith come from? From knowing the word. From confessing the word. So it's still there. Then he says, then the helmet of salvation. And then in your right hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's actually not the logos there. It's a rhema. It's a revealed revelation, ongoing, fresh word of God. And then he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, that great things will happen in the kingdom of God. Amen? So these are, if you want any of these, you didn't get them down, I just encourage you to call the office, call one of us, and we'll be happy to give you these notes. The last one is just to go over quickly if you didn't get these 6 points. Number one, his name, his word, his faith, his blood, our testimony, and his spirit. There are many more. Amen? There are many more. I just think I did a miracle. I gave you them all in not bad timing. I'm going to ask the servers if you would come at this time. I'm going to ask you to get that song ready, Sarah, for us. I love this chorus. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. Now, somewhere in the serving of the communion and when you hold it in your hand, somewhere there, I want you to agree with the words of this chorus. The words of the chorus says, I'm free. Isn't that? Be free. How does it go, Pastor Ralph? Break every chain. That's what I'm thinking. Break every chain. Break every chain. That's the Church of Jesus Christ is being held back by the attack of the enemy, discouragement, frustration. One thing that I'm hearing in my spirit now is shame and guilt. So if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, how can I even try to exercise one of these things you've mentioned this morning? Look at what I've been through. Look at what I've done. Look at where I am. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I do. I rebuke that guilt and that shame in Jesus' name. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Free indeed. Free indeed. Praise God. Praise God.